Okay, so I wasn't on the schedule initially, so whoever put the schedule together didn't necessarily know that this is, I think, going to echo quite well the session from before, for those who were here. This is going to be about Zephyr. For those who know Zephyr, who knows Zephyr? Zephyr Autos. Okay, I'll say a few words about it. But essentially, the challenges of doing SBOMs for embedded. What is so specific about embedded devices? What are some of the things we do in the Zephyr project? Some of the things where we are looking for collaboration opportunities. And I'm Benjamin. I'm a developer advocate for the project. Among other things, I'm actually a maintainer for the tooling we have around SBOMs and SPDX. And yeah, so Zephyr, you might have seen, we still have kites probably at the booth in building AW. Zephyr has been around for many years, for 10 years actually, and does an operating system for small embedded devices, or not so small. Like, I mean, it could be all the way from small wearables, Bluetooth powered or Bluetooth enabled hearing aids and wearables and whatnot. Really big industrial machines like you actually see in the background. It's intentional. Those wind turbines, they run Zephyr as well. Or like anything in between, laptops, etc. I think you can imagine that for all of those, whether they are consumer industrial devices, SBOMs are really relevant, CRA, that kind of stuff. Zephyr, someone that that builds a Zephyr-based application at a really, really high level, the stack looks a bit like this. You have so-called hardware abstraction layers provided by the silicon vendors, the chip vendors. You have the Zephyr kernel itself, and then you keep stacking up. Like, services like the networking stack, the USB stack you get from Zephyr, application services for building your GUI, your graphical user interfaces and whatnot, third-party stuff that you might be pulling in. And that makes, I mean, it's a stack as any other stack, I guess. Except that typically those are like really big modules, if you will, like really big software components from which you only take a really, really small subset. Like, it's embedded, so you're only going to use probably like only a very small subset of the Zephyr kernel, a really small subset of whatever SSL, TLS library, et cetera, et cetera. So your application code is probably like really like just the tip of the iceberg. And then you're pulling in the RTOS, the libraries, the hardware abstraction layers, like I mentioned. Or are you actually pulling all of that? It's really important, like when you, and again, in the context of CRA, but just in general, it's really important to know, out of all those big software components, what are the bits that you're actually using, so that when there is a CVE, you know whether you should start freaking out or whether you're fine. And like the previous presenter said before, there's this world in like JavaScript land and NPM and so on. You build a web application, you're going to pull probably way too many components and modules, but at least, and for better or worse, there is a good chance that whenever there is like this big CVE being announced that a component X is vulnerable, you know that you should start freaking out because you're likely impacted. Like, it's part of your SBOM slash manifest. You're going to be impacted. For something like Zephyr, where again you have those big software components, you're only really using a subset. In fact, you might even like, you think that you're using you're pulling in library X, like the one at the upper right corner over there, except that like if you look at the build artifacts, you're not actually using those. So CVE X shows up in the kernel. We have a Zephyr kernel vulnerability. Hey, lucky you, you don't actually use that. And maybe in some other instances, you might be impacted. So, I mean, it's important to get to get tooling that helps you get good visibility on your SBOMs. And so the way it works in Zephyr, and there's some of what we do that, again, echoes the presentation before, and some of what we do that's effectively could be reused by virtually any project that uses CMake as the build system, as any other build system. Like, it's a big beast, it's really rich, and luckily there is this thing in CMake, for those who don't know, it's actually pretty well hidden feature. Even like the name is really bad, CMake file API. You can effectively, like prior to running your build, you can put a bunch of files in your build folder to tell CMake, hey, I would like to spy on some of the steps that you will be going through, and please dump some JSON files that I will be later able to query to get like really structured information about the build, things like the dependencies with your, between your different targets, information regarding the tool chains that you are pulling, compile flags, etc. So effectively what you need to and want to capture as part of your SBOM. So we have tooling that's part of the Zephyr process, Zephyr build process. You can enable those fancy CMake features so that you get the dump of the interesting build-related metadata, which then we have some additional tooling for doing exactly like the previous presenter said as well, extract all those like licenses, copyright headers, etc., to also capture that information. And of course, that would be only on the files that are relevant. Out of the like thousands and thousands of files in the Zephyr kernel, there's probably only like a couple dozens that you're pulling, but we would be looking at the copyrights, licenses, generate the SHAs, the fingerprints, and then there is a pass that's kind of like the one that's Zephyr specific, where we want to create SBOMs that really reflect the reality of what a Zephyr product is. So isolate things that are effectively the sources of the Zephyr kernel, the sources of your application, the sources of the various modules that we are pulling, because in Zephyr we have this notion of modules, like you can really really well describe like modules that come from various Git repos, etc. And so we add this metadata as we capture the SBOM. The modules, just a small detour through the what the modules are in Zephyr. Effectively, we have mirrors of many third-party projects like embed TLS and like crypto libraries, etc. We don't have any specific necessarily have any specific patches on those, except that they live in our own GitHub repos. So we kind of need the information what is the upstream for those, so that again, a previous presentation, things like the CPEs, the pearls, like the identifiers that tell, hey, this github.com/zephyr/embed-tls. Effectively, this is github.com/arm/embed-tls version xyz. And so our Zephyr modules, our Zephyr mirrors of things like embed-tls, they have this additional metadata where we capture, this is embed-tls coming from ARM in version X. So as of today, this would be 3.6.5. So that's what we then are able to put in the SBOMs that we generate. And that's what, for those who don't know, I mean, there's plenty of tools out there for doing, for analyzing your SBOMs and looking at the public databases out there. If I were to run this command against the very SBOM that you saw just before, the only thing I did is I cheated. I put an older version of embed-tls just for the sake of showing you that if I were to have an embed-tls 3.6.2 instead of the latest 3.6.x, then CVBean tool would be immediately telling me, hey, you have a bunch of high and critical and unknown vulnerabilities. So that's the kind of information we capture. So it's kind of Zephyr specific in a sense, though this notion of modules, but we make it a first class citizen as part of the SBOM generation. And then of course, I mean, I should have mentioned the tooling we have and that we've had for 4 years, I think. There's actually an interesting talk, FOSDEM recording and talk available from the person, Steve Winslow, who introduced this at the time in 2021. SPDX 2.2 initially, 2.3 support got added, and then SPDX 3 is available now with interesting things that could make actually our lives easier, not only make the SBOMs richer in terms of having first-class citizens in terms of the profiles for really describing your build artifacts really well, for really things that could be relevant as well, describing things like, hey, what are the AI models, what's the data that I use to train my embedded ML models, etc. But maybe more importantly, in terms of making it easier for us to have even better tooling, the fact that SPDX 3 really approaches the model in the form of a graph, as opposed to SPDX 2, which is very much like document driven. So whenever we need to and want to add new features in the SPDX tooling in Zephyr, given that there's this dependency towards SPDX2, it's always like, hey, I want to add more information regarding compile flags, etc., tool chains, but I need to think about how it's going to be serialized in my various documents, because like, that's kind of part of the tooling we have. But I've been spending some time playing with SPDX3 try and embrace SPDX3, and this is where Kate will be going, woo-hoo, because you haven't seen that. So essentially, if I were to look, and I want to use the demo also to illustrate what I was saying about like the tip of the iceberg sort of thing. I'm going to build a Zephyr application, which is, quit that, I guess. You can see that. Blinky, so in embedded world or in embedded land, Blinky would be the kind of like the hello world of embedded. You want to blink an LED. Luckily in Zephyr, it's like, I don't know, like 20 lines of code, but we are pulling in the Zephyr kernel. We are pulling in some GPIO APIs to interact with LEDs. I've built this app already. And then the only thing I need to do is tell West, our kind of like meta tool, the companion to our build system. I'm going to tell West, based on the build that I already made and based on what CMake and the CMake file API thingy has captured in the form of a bunch of JSON file, please create SBOMs for me. And again, in the context of Zephyr, the different SBOMs that we want to capture really reflect the sort of like the topology of the application. There is, and you can see this right here, there is an application SBOM. So my main file, like it's literally going to be one file and maybe a bunch of information around licenses and so on. And then there's an SBOM for the sources of Zephyr that I'm pulling, an SBOM for the build artifacts, etc. And so if we were to look at this more visually, what I really like also about SBOM, basically in the context of embedded and in the context of a big beast like Zephyr in a way, it really allows you to understand also what's going on under the hood. I mean, it's really important for like CV, improving your security posture, but it also allows you to visualize what's going on and how you got to that binary and that firmware that you ended up putting in your embedded product. So let's start with, so those are the files that got generated, like I'm not cheating, right? They are from right now. The application, let's start with that. There's not a lot, like I said, I mean, there's one file. I mean, I have main, it's part of my application sources. I have captured, there's a header file that you maybe saw before that says that it's Apache 2. The copyright header should be showing up somewhere as well, but there's not much. If I were to add the build artifacts to the mix, so it's a different JSON ALG document, but it's manipulating the same entity, so it will start extending my graph with even more information. Now I see interesting stuff. And I can easily visualize things like, the main Zephyr binary ELF file is right here. And I have a ton of information captured. Like it's being composed of various static libraries. Probably like the USB driver is there, the GPIO driver is there. The timer driver is there. So like the timer library, it pulled in only a couple C files, the purple ones like Cortex-M, whatever. It was compiled with those compile flags. Like I can really be like, okay, someone told me that in Zephyr using this particular config option is actually a vulnerability issue. I can have insights into that and then can be like, okay, oh, I shipped that into products. I might have an issue, right? And so those are the build artifacts, and I could also add, I haven't yet, the Zephyr sources. And then I get the full picture, like of how I got to where I got in terms of those are all the Zephyr sources that I'm using. So it is small, I know. But like out of all the, again, tens of thousands of files in source files in the Zephyr kernel, I'm only using those, like I'm pulling serial, blah, 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 blah. And so this is SPDX 3. There's a few challenges to make it fully, like it's really rich, but I, a few things that I noticed is that maybe in terms of like capturing configuration data, it's not necessarily clear to me at least like what should go in the SBOM, like should we, like all the configuration files that are part of the Zephyr application, what's the right way, if there is such a way to put them in the SBOM right now? It feels like it's more geared towards potentially putting URIs to GitHub workflows, like online artifacts sort of configurations, whereas like for embedded, it's not necessarily the case. People might have used like systems that have, not online. Tooling wise also, of course, tools and agents are first class citizens in SPDX. But for us, I mean, what goes in terms of, what goes in the compile flags of the, and the various flags that we use to compile, they are really important because they can cause vulnerabilities, etc. It's not clear how to capture them in a structured way, but I mean, as you saw, I still managed to capture those in freeform comments and so on. That's what I had. Maybe time for questions, but CMake file, for those we use the CMake build system, again, it's a hidden feature, sort of, but really, really powerful. So SPDX 3, all the things you saw, I need to turn them into a series of pull requests, I guess, so that Zephyr actually gets the SPDX 3 support. And one thing that I have at the back of my head as well is also using this tooling to help people realize when, intentionally or not, they have diverged from upstream. And so like we ship LTS versions every few years, people build their own stuff on top of that. They might patch some Zephyr kernel features, etc., helping them realize sort of like the diff and when, again, so that they know when the CVE applies or not to what they do. And that's what I had, and I didn't even, still have maybe a minute for questions.
Thank you very much, and thank you for making on time. We have time for one question.
You go. Question is, this is, a lot of it is, or all of it is CMake specific. Do we have support for other build systems? We don't. Like Zephyr, really, the build system is CMake based. We only support and need that. Some of the Python scripts we have for extracting licenses, etc., might be useful to you. It was showing up in a slide, like extracting copyright information, license. The reuse project has really good Python libraries for that. So that's something we use, but it's really like just file per file sort of thing.